Hello. I just got pointed at. This is the Toncast. Oh, or I got two thumbs up. I'm sorry.
That's not pointing.
Now one thumb up.
Hey.
Like Fonzie.
I'm adjusting my review.
Your emojis. Hi, this is the Toncast. I am Alexandre Antoine, a.k.a. Dre, and I am sitting here with Mr. Todd, period. Robert. Period. Anderson. What's up?
What's up?
Yay,
what's going on? How are
here.
You?
How are you?
I feel like $100. $100.
Fake or real?
A real $100, which really isn't a lot of money.
Well, I know, in today's society.
No, it's not a lot of money.
Do you feel like $100 because your team won for Super Bowl?
My team didn't win.
Did you have a team?
I don't really have a team, but I'm from New England and the Patriots didn't make it to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so did you watch the Super Bowl?
I actually did. I wasn't going to.
Right.
We were going to have a lazy Sunday and just watch movies. But my wife, her friend called and was like, "What are you guys doing?" And she's like, "Nothing." So she came over with her daughter and
oh, that's nice.
We drank champagne and watched the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was a boring game, but I thought the halftime show was
good. The halftime show was good.
You know.
I agree.
The commercials were not great.
I thought the commercials were really bad. I thought the game was more interesting than I thought it would be. There was some stuff.
Could have been better.
I don't really care, so it's hard for me to get super invested in a football game. But there was some stuff where I was like, oh, well, that's interesting that it went like that.
I kept saying, I could catch the ball like that. That would have been me.
Didn't the Broncos win in the end?
Yes.
I don't even remember.
And I won $25, people.
Because they were not favored.
Well, everyone loved Cam,
well,
I think.
Yeah, but the Panthers they're favored by 4.5 points, which isn't a huge margin for a Super Bowl. But they were still favored.
I think they were devastated, though. I think.
That they lost?
I just don't think the game went the way they thought it would, and you just saw the look on the players' faces of wait, what?
Oh, they're actually
like you could just see the disappointment. I just thought they probably thought it was going to be neck and neck, and oh my god,
you felt like they gave up before it was over.
I just feel like they weren't. I don't know what it was. Maybe they were overconfident.
Yeah,
something. But I just felt like once it got to the halftime, it was kind of like. I'm sorry, we only have like two more quarters? Wait a minute. It just seemed kind of...
But the halftime people were really happy.
The halftime people were.
Who was in it?
It was Beyonce, Bruno Mars, and Coldplay.
Right? I don't like any of those acts.
You don't?
Not really. I mean, Beyonce's got a great voice, but you know, her music doesn't resonate with me.
And Coldplay doesn't resonate with you?
No.
Have you never listened to any of their albums? Nothing.
I've heard Coldplay on the radio, and
the first album. You have to listen to the first album.
I think it's wildly bland stuff. I'm not into it.
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, if like you know, Coldplay is just like U2 for a new generation. I'm not into it. It's boring.
Well, U2 is great. What do you mean?
I don't like U2. I've never been a big U2 guy.
These are real musicians.
Yeah, I mean...
That's a start.
Real musicians named Bono, who wear goggles all the time.
Why does that bother you? Who cares?
It's just become symbolic of... I think U2 is, for the most part, except maybe some early albums in the 80s, is you know, corporate rock. It's not challenging. It's just background music.
Well,
it's
maybe
fine.
Now. Sunday Bloody Sunday, back in
That's
the day.
That's what I'm
day.
Saying. Back in the 80s, man. I'll give you the 80s stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll give you Duran Duran, too. Right. I mean, you know, why U2 is a legendary band is really actually beyond me.
Really?
But, like, they're just, you know, I've seen them in concert. Because when I was a kid, you know, everybody made me feel like, well, this is the greatest band of our generation, so you gotta spend $90 on a ticket to see the show. And I would go, and I'd be like, oh, really? This is
You weren't blown away. I was just trying
to get laid, and I never got laid. You two couldn't get me fucking laid. You're a rock and roll band, and you can't get me laid?
You should have put lifts in your shoes.
Good. I should. And the goggles. Because I was really short in high school.
Poor Bono. How tall is he?
I don't know.
He's probably like 5'5", 5'6".
Yeah.
You know?
But I knew that Bruno Mars has a couple catchy songs, I guess.
Yes.
And Beyonce, didn't she do one of the James Bond songs?
That was Adele.
Whatever. Beyonce didn't do one earlier than that?
Maybe. I'd have to go back. Well, she did something for 50 Shades of Grey. I have to go back. I don't remember her doing James Bond.
I could be wrong. She seems like the kind of person who would have done a James Bond song.
I feel like it was Adele, and then...
Adele did Skyfall.
Right.
But I thought Beyonce did something before that.
We'll IMDb or we'll do whatever.
The point is, the main point about that halftime show is this. Not huge fans of any of them.
Right.
You know, wouldn't look, twice. But I really enjoyed the halftime show.
Okay.
And it's because all of them... We're having a good time.
Yes.
They were having a really good time, which isn't often the case with Super Bowl halftime shows.
You really think that?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a lot of times.
You don't think Missy Elliott had looked like she was having a good time? Katy Perry looked like... How are you not having a good time at the Super Bowl, though?
I don't remember
like,
the
name
Katy
a group,
Perry.
Name a group.
I remember Missy Elliott looking like she was having a good time, but like what had she been doing? Not a lot. Katy Perry was bringing all the, old... And Lenny Kravitz... That was the one with Lenny Kravitz.
No, I think it was... Yeah, maybe Lenny was there, too. But when Missy Elliott came out, when you went to iTunes, all of a sudden, everyone started buying her stuff all over. Like, you know what I mean?
Her sales went up. And then she dropped a new song,
and then...
But I don't know that whole halftime show didn't feel like they were having a blast to me. Whereas, this one, it seemed more like they were having a blast.
Okay.
It was like a mini step-up movie.
That's funny that you'd say that. I don't know any performer that seemed like they weren't enjoying themselves and rocking out.
Well, I mean, it's not that I've seen all the halftime shows.
Madonna looked like she was having a good time. Beyonce.
I saw the Madonna one, and she didn't look like she was having a good time. And Aerosmith, when they didn't look like they were having a good time.
Really? Bruno Mars, when he did his, he looked like he was having a good time. I don't know. I thought it was a good blend of all three types of music. Beyonce, Chris, and Bruno. Although everyone was making fun the next day, and they were being like, yeah, Bruno and Beyonce were great. Who's that guy in the middle? Poor Chris.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I was with a bunch of friends, and I was like, I've listened to their stuff. I have their albums. I don't even know the names of the other guys in the group. I don't even think I've really seen their pictures. So I was like, oh, that's what they look. Oh, so he plays the so-and-so. Like, literally.
Yeah.
And we only hear about Chris. I don't know if they interview the other guys. You know, at least with, Green Day and other groups, you kind of
start to know
the other guys. Yeah. I only know Chris. He could almost go solo. And I like Chris. Well, I like his music.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Coldplay.
You're the Jimmy Buffett type dude.
That's not fair.
But I'm saying, though, I get it,
I'm tired of apologizing, living in Los Angeles as we do. I'm tired of apologizing for liking Jimmy Buffett.
No, I think we
And I'm not going to anymore. I had a good time. I don't go to the shows anymore. I don't listen to Buffett that much anymore. But, it pops up on my iPod every now and then. And I'm like, oh, that's nice.
It's good music.
And it's simple. And, people in L.A. really hate it.
No, they don't.
Oh, yeah.
We all went to the Buffett conference. We were all tailgating, and we had a great time.
Yeah, we had a select group of friends. I mean, there are obviously people in L.A. who like Buffett. Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Well, yeah, it was crazy.
Right.
But
and fun.
Like all the hipsters I know in L.A. and the people in the entertainment industry, the people that don't like Buffett. There's a hatred of Buffett in L.A.
That's too bad.
I think there's a Southwest Coast hatred of Buffett.
That is odd.
Yeah. It's true in San Diego, too.
He's done nothing. you know, nothing to warrant that type of, like, hate him, I can't stand him. You know, there's nothing where you, there's some groups, Radiohead or some other groups, where it's like you either like it or you hate it.
Yeah,
plain
yeah.
Plain and simple. But Buffett, you're not going to run and dive across the room to turn the radio off if his song comes on.
Some people do. Some people just hate him. I don't get it. I don't know. I don't, like, U2 doesn't do anything for me, but I wouldn't use the word hate to describe their music. It's just like...
It's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love music, and I have different, a little bit of everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you can name any artist, and I can at least name one song that I could be like, yeah, I could maybe buy it on iTunes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I don't close myself off to...
Like the Baha Men.
I don't know who they are.
You might download Who Let the Dogs Out.
Oh, woof. Now that song's annoying to me.
Yeah.
I got
What about, this, what's the name of the outfit that did the Macarena?
See, you're naming all the most annoying, can't get it out of my head, please shut up type songs.
I do actually own Lou Bega's album that has Mamba Number 5 on it.
And that's another one. Here we go.
So annoying, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I had to buy it for a show. And that was back before, you know, you downloaded stuff.
I bought the album.
Yeah, I bought the album just to have it for a show.
Mamba Number 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those songs were just very swingers. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Remember that man?
See, you know, and again, that's a movie. I'm not going to use the word hate, but it's... Like, it's the cinematic equivalent of U2. I never understood why people liked the movie Swingers.
Even after you moved to L.A., you were kind of able to get the jokes?
Well, it came out right after I moved
to
L.A.
So you were already here.
So I was here, and I was like, yeah, I got the jokes.
Mm-hmm. And still?
Yeah, I just was like, I don't know why. I don't know, it didn't...
I don't think you like Vince Vaughn.
It didn't...
Or the other one.
I've never met Vince Vaughn.
John Favreau.
I do like Favreau's work in kids cinema. I like his movies for kids.
Okay.
I liked Zathura.
What the hell was that?
It was like an unofficial sequel to Jumanji.
Oh.
About these kids who play a game. Yeah. I think it did pretty well, actually. It's like the game in it, instead of being a jungle themed game, like in Jumanji, it's a space themed game. Oh. So when they start playing it, they wind up in space, and Dax Shepard's like an astronaut who's been stuck up there because he was a dick to his brother and stuff like that.
The Martian.
It was good, and I really like Elf.
Yeah, Elf was good.
And I'm looking forward to The Jungle Book just because of his track record with family films.
Colby's going to love The Jungle Book.
I hope so. We'll see.
Yes, he will.
We'll see. I don't know.
He's not that type. What?
No, he'll probably dig it.
Okay. Because the action looks, you know what I mean? I saw a trailer for it. I was like, wow, this looks like it's going to be.
Yeah, it looks fun. Yeah. And it's funny because Favreau's grown-up stuff, I've never been that into. I like him as an actor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's good and Rudy and all that. But... Like, his grown-up movies, like Iron Man, didn't really, blow me away.
Okay.
I mean, it's like, it's obviously he's talented if he's made, you know, so much money.
He's
and
got a body keep, of work.
But, you know, like I'm saying, my preference in the Jon Favreau milieu is his family films. I don't know what to tell you.
That's so funny. I didn't even realize he did a lot of family films, because I mostly know him from the... Swingers and the other Couples Retreat and all those fun little romantic comedy type, you know, stories, which I think he really, that's a market. And I think a lot of people can relate to a lot of those adult movies that he does as well.
No, for sure.
Just, you know,
for
fun.
Sure.
You know, that's us. Yeah, my husband does that too.
Right.
You know, one of those type situations. But.
Yeah, it's just his movies haven't, it's like, it's not like I've watched them and gone, oh, this is insulting to me. It's not. It's just, it's not my thing.
He's there.
You know, there's a lot of people that, like that guy who directed Birdman and now The Revenant.
Oh,
I'm like,
I didn't see
you know,
Birdman,
I can respect an artist even if I'm not that into their art. So I respect him and he does his thing and people like it.
Yeah.
And I respect people's like of it. I don't get it. I didn't.
Did you see The Revenant?
Yeah.
And you... Tom Hardy was amazing. Let's give
Tom
him that.
Hardy's always amazing, but, you know, it's like... It's like that movie. What was that movie? Lock, where he's in a car for 90 minutes. Like everybody's like, oh, this is a tour de force. It's amazing. It's amazing. Anybody who can be that engaged for 90 minutes. And I was like, well, yeah, Tom Hardy's a great actor.
Yes, he is.
And it's just Tom Hardy for 90 minutes in a car. After about 20 minutes, I'm like, it's still just Tom Hardy in a car. And The Revenant, for most of it, was not Tom Hardy in the snow. It was Leo in the snow.
I know.
And here's my problem. Unlike a movie like The Gray, which, you know, is comparable in a lot of ways. It's a survival tale. It's snowy.
Yeah.
CGI animals. Don't get me started on the fucking CGI bear. The Revenant.
Know.
It's impossible for me to get on board. I saw The Edge. I saw Harold Perrineau get eaten by a giant actual bear. And they used dummies and all that stuff, but it was a bear.
Was
and I know what
realistic.
A bear looks like. So if you have a cartoon bear, it immediately takes me out of it.
Yeah.
And everybody, that's why everybody makes that joke. Oh, The Revenant. That's the movie where Leo gets raped by a bear. That's why everybody's saying that joke.
Yeah.
Because it looks stupid. So they make it sound even dumber than it really is. Even though everybody's like, oh, but it's such a good movie. The Gray, okay? Mm-hmm. You have Liam Neeson on a plane with a bunch of other dudes.
Mm-hmm.
That guy from Career Opportunities. Dermot Mulroney.
I do that too.
I have to go through it in my head.
Every time.
Dylan McDermott Christ-urbating on American Horror Story. Dermot Mulroney riding on one of those horses that you put quarters in at the grocery store for little kids with Jennifer Connelly in Career Opportunities.
That's hysterical.
He's really funny in Career Opportunities. And he was also in Trigger Effect, a movie that nobody likes but me. Which is, it's a cool movie with Elizabeth Shue. I'm going to have
Elizabeth Shue.
You know, what are you going to do? But anyway, so, and there's that guy who looks like John Ritter's on there.
In The Gray?
Yeah. What's that actor's name? He looks just like John Ritter. He's not related to John Ritter.
He's been on
TV shows, and if you saw him, you'd recognize him. But he looks so much like John Ritter.
Okay.
And he's got like sort of a similar affect, like if he's like a seems like a sweet dude.
We'll find it.
In any event, so that's they crash in the plane, you know, and then they're being stalked by wolves because they've crashed within the wolves' breeding ground.
Yep.
You know, but here's the thing. Even if you kind of know Liam Neeson's going to make it to the end of the movie, you don't know who else is.
Yeah.
So that creates dramatic tension. Like, and watching these guys interplay with each other and fight. The Revenant, very similarly themed, guy having to survive snow and animal attacks.
Starvation.
But it's just one guy crawling through the snow.
Yeah.
And I know it's based on a true story. And I had the unfortunate my other podcast with Jason Rohr that I do.
Okay.
Like, we force each other to watch shitty movies.
Okay.
So he made me watch Man in the Wilderness starring Richard Harris, which is the same story.
Okay.
Based on the same book. Now, the book, and I haven't read it, but my understanding is the book is a survival tale, and it's interesting in that it's like a guy crawling through the snow and living off of berries and shit.
Mm.
That's not a cinematic story. It works really well on the page,
because
you can kind of get into like how he's surviving, you know, and all that. But if you know the guy's going to – he's got to – if Leo doesn't make it to the end of the movie – then there's no movie, because it's a movie about him crawling through the snow.
Right.
And then in order to make it more interesting, they added all these things that didn't happen in the true story. Because the true story is like he got mauled by a bear. He got left for dead, mauled by a bear, had to crawl with all these injuries through the snow.
Okay.
Which is harrowing.
Yes, it
but,
is.
But Leo, did you see the
Yeah, I saw it.
So Leo, within about 10 minutes of being stomped on by a bear and having his leg broken, I think, in a couple places, is running around in the snow on a broken leg. And I'm like,
no, I don't think his leg was, it was all the upper body. It was all the back and it was all the...
There was something about his leg, like he had like a leg injury. In any event, then he falls off a cliff on a horse.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, I don't. This is bullshit. There's no way you survive. And then he climbs inside the horse. I was like, now this is just, talk about jumping the shark.
Well, that's smart. That's what, if you want to keep warm and you're freezing, I get what he was trying to do.
No, I know. But once you've jumped off a cliff on a horse and fallen, I didn't believe that he would have had the...
No injuries. Worse injuries. Be paralyzed
Especially
if the horse
He
is
wouldn't
dead.
Have been able to have the strength to cut open a goddamn horse and get inside of it.
Yeah.
You know, even though, I mean, I know that's like a super manly thing to do, and we haven't seen the likes of that since The Empire Strikes Back with the Tauntaun and shit. But I don't know. There was too much bullshit.
Well,
and there wasn't enough. And then, oh God, and then the goddamn, they pulled a Tonto.
Yeah.
They pulled a Tonto.
That guy, right. The friend that was helping him. What I don't understand is how, I don't want to give anything away. Never mind.
I know. I will give this away.
Okay.
You know, if you don't, if spoiler alert.
Wait, yeah.
But the Indian American shows up to, in the story, shows up to save Leonardo DiCaprio and put him in a sweat lodge and do all this stuff for him.
Right.
And then as soon as it's done and Leo's better and walking towards his getting revenge, what happens?
That's what I'm
saying. He gets hung from a tree. It's a Tonto character.
But what's killing me is, like, the teepee was right there. So they didn't even go and look at the surrounding area. They left Leo alone. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it was certain things where it was just like, why are you safe waking up after a beautiful nap and your friend is swinging from a tree? Like, things just didn't vibe well with me. The movie was uncomfortable to watch for me because, A, I hate being cold. So I just let me just put you like this. Let's just give Leo the Oscar, get it over with, and we can move on with our lives. Just give it to him.
I could give a shit.
You know what I mean?
I
at this point in time,
shit.
If he's going to go traipsing through the snow and, I mean, it looks like that shoot was probably...
No, it was miserable.
Horrible.
Very difficult. Yeah.
So, just, you know, I was curious to see it because I've heard so much about it.
I talk like this the whole time.
It's just like, Lee, come on.
So he wouldn't sound like Leonardo.
I know, because he is a pretty boy. No matter how he grows his hair, no matter what he does, he's still... And he's no match for Tom. And I don't mean that badly. I just mean that... Tom Hardy looks like he grew up in the mountains and, you know, this is his thing. And Leo trained to look like he grew up in the mountains and this is his thing. They're just...
Yeah, that's
just,
true. They don't... They're
they didn't both
fighting
have that gritty,
each other doesn't make a lot of sense.
It just didn't... Because Leo definitely would not have won. Tom, one punch would have knocked him out in real life. I think that Leo really, 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 really tried his damnness this time around, and I don't know who's going to snake it from him. It can't be the Danish girl, because we've already done the transgender thing. Like, we don't need... Eddie better not get it, and I don't know who else is up right now. I can't think. But I think...
This much I know. Nothing but white people.
Oh,
that's all I know. I don't know who they are. I don't know what movies they've done.
Hashtag.
Because I don't watch these kind of movies.
They send them to you.
But... I know, and I don't get around to watching them. I just haven't watched a single one of the... Like, I want to see...
Room.
Yeah, I wanted to watch Room, but
don't
then my wife
Colby,
won't let me... No. Then my wife won't let me watch it until I read the goddamn book.
Oh, there's a book?
Yeah, she read the book. She's like, oh, it's so good. There's no way they did this right. And I've heard so many good things about the movies. Well, they changed the perspective, because the book, it's the perspective of the kid, I think, and in the movie, it's
the perspective of the mom. Yeah. I mean, it's still the perspective of the kid. It's still in the perspective of the
kid. Oh, okay.
But yeah, that little boy was
it's great.
So good. I mean, some kid actors are just, my mommy told me to say my lines this way. Like, none of that. Like, just natural, raw talent. So that little boy was good. I don't remember who else is up for best male actor at the moment. I know you said Nothing But White. But I can't even think of the other movies. All I can think of is The Danish Girl.
Well, there's like
probably
Spotlight,
The Big Short.
The Big Short.
And, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, just give it to Leo. I'm just saying, just give it to him. He's like the Susan Lucci of the Oscars. Just give it to him and let it go. He worked his ass off. You could tell he trained. He did everything, probably on location for a year.
I know. And we've given Oscars for less.
He worked his ass off. You gave it to Cher for Moonstruck, and she disappeared.
Halle Berry for Monsters Ball.
That's all I'm saying.
They gave an actress the highest, most coveted award for being adequate for the first time in her career.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Oh, I shouldn't shit on people. I'm an actor. I'll get in trouble.
Well, I need to see that movie again, actually. Monsters Ball. I need to watch it again.
It's a wildly unpleasant film.
Yeah, but I remember, it's one of those things when you hear so much about a movie and it's like, okay, I gotta see it again. And then when you see, okay, I'm finally watching it. Oh, is this what everyone's talking about? Like, so I couldn't even calm down enough to be like, to enjoy it, just to enjoy it. It's, what's everyone talking about? Is this a scene? Okay, this is the sex scene they're talking about. Scene, you know what I mean? So it was just one of those things where I need to watch it again now that time has passed and been like, oh, all right, maybe that's why. You know, I know Billy Bob, he's always good in everything.
I thought she was fine in Monsters Ball.
I need to see it.
I don't think it's a great movie. I really don't. It's just like...
It's depressing as hell. Yeah,
it's just
that
like the kind of subject matter that gets the Academy Award people excited.
Yeah.
Because it's an issue movie and all that stuff, but...
That was years ago, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, no, I think...
But it's like, and they gave Denzel an award for Chewing Scenery.
Right, but because they owed it to him for Glory.
But
you know how they do that? Like, Susan Sarandon should have gotten
Hurricane
for...
Hurricane, they should have given
or Hurricane.
To,
yeah. But, like, Susan Sarandon should have gotten it for Dead Man...
He was nominated for Glory? Best Supporting Actor?
Something. You know what I mean? Like, his acting, the character was better and more like, wow, this is grittier. But then, okay, let's give it to him for Training Day? Was that when he got
it? Yeah, which is a B-movie. I mean, it's fun, and he's having a good old time, but that's what he's doing. He's chewing scenery. It might as well have been one of his Tony Scott movies.
And he rocked the role, but it definitely wasn't
fun.
But
he was over the top.
But he was able to do over the top without it being too campy and too, like, okay, let's
It wasn't
bring
like
it down
Jack Nicholson over the top.
I'll
give you that. Oof. I don't think he's capable of that kind of...
Because he still maintained... He wasn't a caricature of, look at this bad cop doing, you know what I mean?
And I think Denzel, all he really wants to do is make B-movies.
Don't say that.
I think that's what he wants.
Why would you say that?
Because that's all he's made for the last 10 years.
Well, I think he wants to do a little bit more action. Like, what was that movie that, The Equalizer, or what was that?
The Equalizer.
Yeah, I thought that was a great movie.
I loved
it.
No, I loved it, but it's a B-movie. And those train movies he did with Tony Scott... There was The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, and then Unstoppable,
okay.
Which is like a misleading title.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that movie?
No.
Unstoppable?
No. Is that the train?
Runaway train? Spoiler alert. They stop it.
You're not correct.
So it's not unstoppable. It was entirely stoppable.
It's like Speed. It's that same concept. I'm just saying.
But Speed's just called Speed, and, you know, that's a fair title. It's like, if the bus is going really fast, it doesn't blow up. So you got to maintain speed. But Unstoppable is about a train that they need to stop. But they're having it's really hard to stop. They could have called it Really Hard to Stop. But Unstoppable is not,
false advertising?
Yeah, they stopped it.
But I want to see that. Do you own that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's based on a true story.
Everything seems to be, is really based on a true story? That movie? I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
It is based on a true story. Yeah.
People die. And they actually, don't tell me.
I won't.
Anyways,
tell you.
Anyways, no, but I think Denzel, he's having fun. Like, you don't always want to have to do these Daniel Day-Lewis type roles.
No. That's absolutely true. And you I like his B-movies. Like, I'm so sorry Tony Scott jumped off a bridge.
That's
because...
Are you making fun?
No. I thought they were great together. I'm a big fan of Tony Scott.
Yeah.
I love this movies.
Okay.
Why
did he do that again? Was he depressed?
He was manic depressive or something. Yeah, he was sick.
Like sick, like cancer or something, and then he just said, let me just...
He had a psych... I can't remember what it was, but he had a psychological disorder, and he was on medication, and he stopped
taking
medication.
That's always... Same with Robin Williams, right? He stopped taking it. And
No. Well, I heard different things about Robin Williams. I heard that he was on a medication.
Right.
And he didn't stop taking it, but a side effect of the medication. Because he was, in addition to being clinically depressed, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, something. Some kind of disease. And I don't know if this is true. Right. I just remember reading about it, but that, like, and I was on that drug that they give people for Parkinson's that's supposed to, yes, stop tremors, because I was diagnosed with having restless leg syndrome when I sleep. What did Kramer call it on Seinfeld? The jumpy jumpy leg or something? She's got the jumpy jumpy leg. So I went on that, but one of the side effects of that drug is a loss of impulse control. So when I went on it, the doctor says, I know this sounds crazy, but I have to tell you all the possible side effects.
Right.
And one of the really weird, very rare side effects, he said, of this drug is that you lose impulse control.
Okay.
So if you suddenly find yourself in Las Vegas with a bunch of hookers and gambling uncontrollably, you need to call me because the drug is fucking with your head. So Robin Williams having suicidal tendencies before.
Wow.
The lack of impulse control side effect was one of the things I heard as a theory for something.
And when you're in that zone, there's nothing, you know, you're not going to have someone watching him 24 hours a day.
Well, if it's impulse control and you're by yourself, you know what I mean?
God,
you know, and he's not
and he's not going to pick up the phone and say, hey, I need help right now.
That's the thing about that drug and that side effect. It's like a loss of impulse control. I mean, that, like, to kind of try and wrap your mind around, like, I guess we've all had it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it, like, generally centers around a bottle of scotch. I'm like, I can just keep drinking this. It's so good. And then I'm like, I don't feel good anymore. But with something like that, I mean, it's like the same thing. It's like you're not
thinking
clearly, but it's like not under the influence of alcohol. It's like this pharmaceutical drug that has a bizarre side effect.
That to me is just scary. Like, the fact that everything leads to something else. All right, well, we helped you with the tremors, but now you might kill yourself. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, things like that where it's just, I don't know, it's just... That's why a lot of people just don't believe in Western medicine, because it's,
you
know, one thing leads to another. Okay, the
You wind up on a cocktail. Yeah, I mean, that happens to my mother-in-law all the time. She'll be wind up on, like, takes this drug for this problem.
Yeah.
And then this drug to deal with the side effect of that drug. And then, like, she'll get up to, like, five or six and then start feeling like absolute shit. And then say to her doctor, I feel like shit.
Yeah.
And he's looking at, you know, he's like, well, but all these other doctors put you on these things. That's why you feel like shit. Because you're on too many.
You're drugged up.
You're on too many pills.
You don't know who you are.
Yeah, it makes you feel like shit.
And
so, I mean, that's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to know because, I mean, it's like I lost my uncle to, because he wouldn't take heart pills.
Wouldn't take them?
Well, he was supposed to be taking, I want to say, beta blockers or something like that. But he was a recovering alcoholic and drug addict.
Okay.
So he didn't want to.
Okay.
Because, like, beta blockers, you know, are, I would take them, except they give me horrible heartburn.
Okay.
But they're great for auditions.
Why are you saying that?
Because if you take a beta blocker before your audition, you don't get nervous.
But are you kind of dead and, like,
whatever?
You're still peppy and alive?
No, you have total energy.
Just
don't get that nerve thing.
Okay.
But beta blockers are like, they treat a symptom. Like, really, the only people who are supposed to be on beta blockers regularly are people who have high blood pressure or heart problems.
And it's not like Ambien or something. So, technically, your uncle could have taken it.
No, I've taken them before. It's just that I had such... Just because I have so many problems that side effects, you know, pop up.
Okay.
Because I have a hiatal hernia, which means I'm predisposed to getting heartburn, getting GERD all the time.
Really?
So many drugs have that side effect. Wow. Like, the only painkiller I can take, like, over the counter is Tylenol. I can't take ibuprofen or aspirin or any of that stuff because it gives me horrible heartburn. And that's what beta blockers did. They gave me a horrible heartburn because they were...
And horrible heartburn is just, like, I need to burp. Like, it's not... I mean, how bad is bad?
Oh, no, no. It can be horribly painful. And it's especially happens, like, when you're lying down, when you're sleeping.
When trying to go to sleep. Okay.
Because I'll wake up. Like, one time I thought I was having a heart attack. I went to the hospital, and the guy was like, I think this is heartburn.
Oh, you went to the hospital? You were that freaked out?
Yeah. Yeah, because it felt like my chest was going to explode.
Oh, they didn't know it was that bad for heartburn.
Yeah, it can get really bad.
Because in the commercials, they just have him hit his chest twice.
No, I know, but that's like a low level, I ate spicy food.
Yeah, right.
But I shouldn't have, or I drank too much red wine or something.
Yeah.
But no, this is like, it hurts.
Oh, I didn't know
like,
that.
Like, it can hurt. And so I take medicine every day for that. Because, yeah.
No matter what you eat.
I take.
Or you changed your diet?
I take. Well, I watch what I eat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no spicy
but
food.
But
no
I cheat.
Garlic.
Well, I never eat spicy food unless. Except accidentally.
Okay, okay.
Like the other day, did you know Terry Sloan?
Yeah.
Was one of our roommates back in Moore
the
Park
name
Street.
Sounds familiar.
In any event, he lives back in Massachusetts now, but him and his family were out visiting, so we went out to dinner. And Hillary and I split, like, a salad. Like, it was, like, kale and chicken salad. Mm-hmm. But there was something, like, I took a bite of something, and it was so fucking spicy.
Paprika.
I don't know what it was. I was like, and she's like, what? Because she hadn't
really?
Had it. It was like one hunk of spice of some kind.
Really?
Yeah. And the really waiter was like, I'll send my manager right over. I was like, well, and the manager was like, I don't know what that would be. I was like, I don't either, dude. It's you think
really?
I'm bullshitting? I'm not trying to get a free salad. I'm just wondering what the fuck was in it.
It was really that hot.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a jalapeno, you don't... I'm like, you just... It was a spice. It wasn't like... You
whatever it was,
anything.
It really could have been a jalapeno pepper. I don't know. It hurt. And I couldn't taste anything for like an hour after.
Seriously?
The rest of the dinner was... Yeah,
all
my
I do is spice.
Face was on fire.
I put Tapatio on everything from my popcorn to my eggs. All I do is spice.
People...
And my salad.
People do that shit, and I don't
sriracha.
Do it. Yeah, it hurts.
These are my friends.
Hurts.
I put it on my tuna salad, everything. I had some sriracha earlier today. Yeah, I don't know what's
I don't,
wrong with
I mean, that. I like spicy stuff. Yeah, I like raw onions, but I can't eat those anymore.
The hell? Can you eat red meat? You can eat red meat and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
what
sure.
would the doctor
Well, I'm
eat?
Not supposed to eat red meat anymore either. Oh. I'm fucking 44. My cholesterol levels are too high.
Time
I'm
to
supposed
let it
to
go.
Stay away from red meat. Whole dairy products.
Nope. Sorry, that
cholesterol.
Means no red meat, no ice cream. You've already, yeah. That's the majority of my diet right there. What else are you going to take away from me? You kidding me?
That's
a cappuccino?
What I yeah, like, I know. I mean, I love bacon. That's my main.
Well, turkey bacon. You could fake it with the turkey bacon.
Yeah, turkey that's bacon's good. Fucking bullshit.
No, it's good, but you get it crunchy.
Fine. It's fine, yeah. Turkey sausage, it's fine.
Okay.
But it's not as good as regular bacon.
Yeah,
but.
When the diets have to be bland and know this, know that.
Well, you know, and I got point? High blood pressure and cholesterol, high cholesterol, and I gotta watch what I eat now.
That should be a song.
Yeah, like a country.
Yeah.
Country song.
High blood pressure, high cholesterol.
God
watch,
damn it.
Watch what I eat now. God.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how we got on that.
I don't know how we got on that either.
We were talking about The Revenant and then heart problems.
And then we ended
suicide.
Poor cat is...
Oh, Tony Scott and Denzel Washington.
I know, Tony.
But they made a lot of fun movies together. Those
and
two.
I, you know, I haven't seen all of them, but, you know, I'm always, you know, anything that Denzel does, I support.
What was the last movie that Denzel did that you did not see?
Well, the last movie I saw of his was The Equalizer. That was it. So I don't know if he's had something.
That was his last movie.
Okay, so that was the last one that I saw, and
I
enjoyed it immensely. I actually went, like, because everyone I knew had already gone to see it. So I did one of those sneaky things and, like, went to the, you know, if you wait 2 weeks and then you go to the first showing of a movie,
yeah,
you
then
get
then,
half
yeah,
price. Because
yeah.
That's what happens with Revenant. It's like $7. I was like, this works. And
yeah.
So it was like a bunch of us in the theater at like 11 a.m. I was like, okay. Oh. You know, watching, Leo grunt and grovel. So yeah, so I think I went to see The Equalizer early.
Did you see John Wick?
Wick loved John Wick.
That was a good double feature right there. Yes! The Equalizer and John Wick.
Oh my God, that movie was so good. Like, he's making a second one, right?
Yeah, John Wick 2 is coming out this year. They're making another Equalizer, too.
Down for it. Down for it all. Both those movies and the Mad Max one.
Yeah, Mad Max was
loved
killer.
It.
Yeah.
I need Mad to Max watch the Mad. You don't own that one yet, do you?
Oh, yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Own the Mad Max
I
one?
I got the Blu-ray box set of the whole franchise.
No, not Mel Gibson. The one right now with Tom Hardy.
Yeah, that's part of the franchise.
I don't want to see Mel and his sugar tits. I'm talking about Tom. Yeah, Are you going to do a showing of it? No, yeah. I know. I'd love to see it for Tina.
Yeah.
Miss Turner, that
I is. Watched a Mel Gibson movie the other day.
Lethal Weapon?
That I hadn't seen since it came out. Air America.
Oh,
with him and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, that was a long time ago. That was supposed to be a good movie, right? They had good chemistry and everything.
They're fun together. The movie's kind of a mess.
Okay.
But
Downey has chemistry enjoyable with everybody. Like, I feel like Robert Downey Jr. gets along with anybody and everybody. He's just that guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But they had good chemistry, the two of them. But Gibson did too. I mean, we forget. You go back and you watch, like, old Gibson movies, because now he looks like a...
psychopath.
He looks like a psychopath, one, because of just what, like, all that's come into the public eye.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he gets up at the Golden Globes, basically as a easy punchline for Ricky Gervais. Do you watch the, what was it, the Critics' Choice Awards?
I missed
T.J. Miller had a good joke in the opening monologue. He was talking about Ricky Gervais, and he's like, you got to give it to Ricky Gervais. He's the only person working in showbiz today that can make an entire room of people feel bad for Mel Gibson.
What did he say about Mel? Do you remember?
He made a joke about... about sugar tits, I think.
Okay.
Well, he made it. I can't remember what the initial disparaging joke about Mel Gibson was, and when he introduced him, but then Gibson came back at him, like he had some joke about getting a colonoscopy, and comparing it to Ricky Gervais, and then Ricky Gervais left his beer. On the podium and came back out and got it. And Mel Gibson's like, you're not going to need that. When I get backstage, I'll knock you out myself.
Oh.
And then that's when Ricky Gervais said something that was bleeped, you know, because they're on a delay.
Yes.
But he said, he just came back out on the stage and said, by the way, what the fuck does sugar tits mean? Which was all bleeped out.
I love it.
And Gibson's like, I don't know. Ask the guy who said it. It wasn't me.
What?
Well, he maintains he never said that.
Okay.
He can't maintain that he told his girlfriend
I'm going to bury you in the garden.
That she would be raped by a bunch of black guys. Because that's been recorded.
Yes, and played.
And played ad nauseum. So he can't deny that. But he can deny the sugar tits thing.
Wow.
Because that's just, I guess, technically just hearsay. Wow. He just looked. He also just, like, he went from being probably the best looking dude in Hollywood to just, like, after all this. And I think it all came after. The shit hit the fan. Like, after the Malibu thing and the blaming Jews for stuff and calling a girl sugar tits into the abusive phone calls.
Because no one had a clue.
Racism and the sexism. No.
He hid that well.
Yeah. But, like, after it came out, like, he just aged fast.
His insides came out.
Yeah, yeah. And he looks like bloated.
He looks like about Schmidt. Leathery. He looks like Nicholson
about Schmidt. He does not look well.
Yeah, he looks angry and just nasty. And I thought he was a lovable... You know, when you watch the Lethal Weapons and all that stuff, he just looked like...
Yeah, he's a lovable scamp. And he was known for being that way on set. Like, he was like Clooney before Clooney.
That's too bad. With the practical
jokes and the...
good-natured and laughing.
But, you know, upbringing, man. Upbringing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all started, actually, like, for me, it all started with The Passion.
That was a rough one.
That, like, and that's when there was starting to be
backlash and just...
Yeah, because it was before he ever came out and said anything anti-Semitic. His father did.
Mel's father?
Yeah. Who and Mel is stuck with the religion he was brought up in.
Yeah.
Which is like some extreme Christian sect in Australia or whatever.
That always works.
But his dad came out, like, in an interview and publicly said very anti-Semitic things at the same time that The Passion was being released.
Lovely.
And Gibson came under attack because he didn't...
shut it down, he didn't, or... yeah,
like, come out and say, I think my dad's crazy, because he didn't. You know, like, in one interview he said, ah, what are you going to do? I love the guy. It's my dad. But he never said...
I don't agree.
I don't agree.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he just said, my crazy old dad. And then the next thing you know.
Wow. And you know what? Just because someone is in the public eye, Mel's not the only one who feels this way. You know what I mean? It's just, it's, I don't want to say it's too bad. Everyone has a right to feel how they feel, whether they're against it or not. If you feel that way, you can't change how somebody
feels.
Well,
that's like the free speech thing. Yeah, you can say what you want. You can hate Jews all you want.
It's
you
just
know, but it,
the platform.
It's, yeah,
it's a way of going about it. But Mel's not the only one in this world, unfortunately,
right,
that feels that way.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Well, and it's just it's just one of those things. It's like, if you say those things and there's a backlash against your career,
don't be surprised.
Then everybody is always like, "Well, what happened to freedom of speech?" And it's like, "Well, that is freedom of speech.
That's what happens.
That's what goes. That's."
Goes hand
you
in
get
hand.
To say that, and then the people who've don't been paying you can say, I don't want to pay you anymore.
I'm
and that's the most,
that.
That's the strongest speech there is.
Yeah.
Like, and the only problem with that is that so much of the money is controlled by so few people.
Yeah.
And that's when that gets scary. That's when that can, like,
blow up in your face.
It's you are taking away freedom of speech if a corporation suddenly saying, you know, I can't say whatever or I'll lose my job.
Yeah.
Then that's fascism. So that's where fascism and capitalism kind of can come together. So I get that argument, but I don't know.
I mean,
it's hard to be sympathetic. It's like what I'm saying about that lady on the plane. There was that lady on the plane.
Oh, right, yeah,
who's
yeah.
going to Africa. We weren't on mic when we were talking about that.
No, we weren't talking about any of
this. Well, we were off mic. We were talking about that lady, and this is already a few years ago now.
Okay.
But she was going to Africa, and she made some joke about, I hope I don't get HIV. Oh, of course I wouldn't get HIV. I'm white. It's something along those lines.
Wow.
And posted it. She thought privately... And then it blew up, and by the time the plane landed, she had no idea it was happening. By the time the plane landed, she didn't have her job, and her whole life was ruined.
Jesus Christ.
For that offhanded comment. I think that maybe is taking it a bit too far.
Well, nobody wants to stand behind and not if you stand behind it, it almost means like, oh, so you agree. Are you going to do something about this
right,
or not?
Right.
So it's like you have to...
I don't know that her life should have been completely destroyed for making a bad joke any more than I think that the new Daily Show guy shouldn't be the Daily Show just because he made anti-Semitic remarks a long time ago.
Got it.
Like, I don't understand why she got... But it's just with Gibson, it's really hard to have any sympathy because it wasn't just this isolated drunk event, which, you know... Honestly, he probably could have gotten past.
Yeah.
If he had,
shut it down.
I mean, he said, well, I've made my mea culpas, but the problem is he never did, and he never said, I'm sorry, and he never even said, Jesus, I was drunk,
I don't know what happened.
I'm going through this horrible thing, and I can't believe I said those things. It's inexcusable.
Right.
I mean, that's all you need to fucking do.
Even if you don't believe it.
Even if you don't believe it. But he didn't even do that.
No.
You know, because, I mean, how often have celebrities made those apologies and you're like, yeah, right.
Like Kramer tried from Seinfeld. Remember when he was at the Laugh Factory?
Yeah, I mean, and that's another one of those things where, you know, his whole career was destroyed.
I mean, yeah, like I can't watch Seinfeld the same again.
No, it's hard
that,
to
you know
do.
What I mean?
Like, draw. Yeah. Yeah.
He
it's
ruined
just.
It.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like in a moment of insanity, he got racist. And I just, feel like, you know, in that situation, like psychologically, he was a cat backed into a corner.
Right.
And he was been made a fool of by this heckler in the audience. Right. So he like scratched, not knowing what else to do, but just went racist. I don't know if he's necessarily.
But this is what we were talking about off air earlier. And this is what I mean by, as angry as I get, I don't bring in someone's nationality or sexuality or whatever. It's just I'm angry at you, the person, because you said this to me.
Right.
When it turns into, you black, when it starts turning into that, then all you're going to think is, oh, so that's the way you've been seeing me so far. You've just put a lid on it and tried to see past that.
Yeah, but I agree.
The first time I piss you off, the first thing you're going to throw in my face is start calling me the N-word and this and the other, then... You know what I mean? That's all. It's like if you...
Can you imagine?
Yes. If a guy gets into a fight with a girl and starts calling her the C word and all this stuff, and you dirty bitch, and then you slut ass whore, she would kind of be like, whoa.
For me,
like,
that's pillow talk.
Only when someone calls you that, not the other way around. You sicko.
Well, that's true.
But you know what I mean?
No, like, no. And I
can't think of an analogy.
Yeah, I think about that. Yeah, well, when people get drunk and they say something racist or homophobic or whatever.
Yeah. It's almost like that is how you feel. I would never get into a fight with Caitlyn Jenner.
Right.
And be like, you twisted little sick F. You were born a man. Don't you know you have a penis? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if we're arguing about a certain thing, what does that have to do with anything? I just feel a truth serum. When you get angry, whatever you're saying, that's really how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drunk or not.
No, that's true. That's true. And I guess that, like, that's what creates this giant gray area in my head, though, is should you destroy someone's entire life for saying a racist thing versus, like, criticizing them for that and giving them the opportunity to, like, because that woman on the plane, she didn't have an opportunity to defend herself or apologize.
What is she going to say, though? How do you defend yourself? Oh, I'm sorry, Siri. I was typing in something else.
Again, you're making a good point.
That's all. And you're making a good point.
That's what I'm saying. But
there is no apology.
Is there?
And I'm not saying it like holding a grudge, but I'm just saying there are certain things. Like, for example, this is a bad example, but there was something going around on YouTube where this girl was in Vegas and she got super drunk and she was almost beating up the Uber driver. She got in his car, she started throwing all this crap out the window, and it turns out she works in a doctor's office. Like, she's a doctor. So everyone is saying, well, then you need to fire her from this office. I'm not going to go to that doctor's office anymore. If this is the people that you have working there, this is a doctor taking my temperature.
Was she saying racist things?
She wasn't saying racist things, but her behavior
was so unprofessional
and so, like, out of control that office now took a beating because of her behavior, because she does represent that office. So even her apology could, I'm so sorry. But if that office fired her, I can understand why. Because if you had a business and someone who worked for you is on YouTube getting played 200,000 hits of, you well, breaking this, you know, why would you, hi, good morning, Marie, you know what I mean? So I understand, fortunately, with social media, what you put out there stays with you. I mean, someone got fired for doing a Halloween costume of Trayvon.
Wow.
A few years back, someone did the most inappropriate. It was either Trayvon, or they did blackface.
Yeah,
they did something that was so inappropriate, and they got fired from their office for this inappropriate Halloween costume. I think they were making fun of Trayvon or something, and they had like a bullet hole, just something so like wow. And they were like, it was just a Halloween costume. You were just dressing up. I didn't mean it. You know. So it's amazing how. Julianna Ho, if that's a Huff, however you say your name, the Dancing with the Stars girl, now she's dating Ryan Seacrest, and she just did Grease Live. She was Sandy in Grease Live.
Oh, okay,
A few years back, she played Crazy Eyes. She did Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black, and she did blackface.
As a Halloween costume?
As a Halloween costume. Her point was, I just love that character. I love Ubu, whatever her name is, the actress, and I didn't mean it blackface that way. She got so much backlash for it. I honestly think she was just... No, I just love the character and she's black and I was
Well, that was
crazy,
like the Ted Danson, Whoopi Goldberg thing from back in the day.
Yeah.
It's
a fine line,
it's
but...
It's not a choice that... I mean, I understand the argument that you can make about that. This is non-offensive versus offensive blackface. But at the same time, I don't think that's a mistake I would ever make.
I would wouldn't make it either. But what we're talking about, should your life be ruined for that kind of mistake? Right, and I'm saying, Juliana Huff did something that was effed up. That chick at the beating up the Uber driver. Should she be fired for being on YouTube
beating up an Uber driver is actually a felony. It's aggravated assault. It's a felony.
I mean, she hit him or something like that. But you get.
But that's still like if she hit him, if you hit somebody, and it's not self defense. If you're just attacking somebody, that's aggravated assault.
And she was drunk out of her.
That's a jailable offense.
I get it. But should she be fired? Should her office fire her for destroying the inside of his car and throwing everything out the window and stuff like that, all on camera? Do you think the office should fire her? Because this is what I'm saying. The actions that are now on social media, on your Facebook page that you're sharing with your friends, and then all of a sudden you go to school or work on Monday and they're like, you can't work here any longer because, you know, the parents are
so hard to be a violent racist these days. Such a pain in the ass.
You'll find a way,
Tom. You really got to keep it under your hat.
I have faith in you.
Got to keep it. I have a closet that I go into. And just say racist things really quietly.
Okay, people are like, what is that? Were you trying to say anything we need to come out? What is that? Like, you just can't win no matter what.
God damn it.
You do. Take a picture of yourself in the closet. What are you trying to say, huh? You're making fun of gay people or something? Like, yeah, there really is. I mean, and everyone's so sensitive now. God, the world is so sensitive. You can't say or do anything. And, you know, speaking of what we were speaking on earlier before, it's like, you can say all freedom of speech.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, that's the argument I always have. It's like when people complain about political correctness ruining comedy or whatever, I'm always like, well, not really. It hasn't really ruined comedy. I know it's harder to go to college campuses and say off-color things, but like, what are you arguing for? Because it's like, speaking of blackface, like you go back in time and when blackface, which was probably arguably one of the first things, like entertainment showbiz things that became politically incorrect to do.
Yeah.
Like imagine being a white comic who that was your bit.
Yeah.
And you're like, what happened to freedom of speech? That happened, you know? That happened back then. Yeah. People were mad. They felt like they were being infringed upon. What do you mean I can't do blackface anymore? So if you're arguing against political correctness now, aren't you kind of making a similar argument?
I don't know. Like I said before, once again, we were off air.
We had a great show off mic.
Yeah, and I was like,
it was a really good off mic show.
We were using names. I think the problem is, or it works if you are the butt of the joke.
Sure.
If you are making fun of yourself, and Whoopi Goldberg did black, but she was a part of the Ted Danson joke.
Right.
She was a part of it. If Ted Danson did that with a white woman, I didn't agree with it at all. I don't agree with blackface. I don't agree with the N-word. I don't agree with any of that.
She still loves Mel Gibson.
Whoopi does?
Yeah. She's still one of the people who, like, defends him.
What? How does she defend him?
She says she still loves him and she doesn't think he does that.
She agrees really that he did that. Say that. Oh,
like
Jodie
Foster and Robert Downey Jr. Those are three, like, stars who have said, I'm still friends with Mel Gibson. They remain loyal to him.
Okay. So they're saying that was a one-time thing, that he's normally not like that.
She doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean it. And blah, blah, blah.
Oh, whoop, whoop.
Okay. But it's like,
and that's fine. Good for her. No need to hold grudge. Everybody messes up, and she's very laid back. She doesn't let anything bother her. So that's Whoopi. I just feel like you could be politically incorrect if you are being politically incorrect about yourself, and if you can make yourself the butt of the joke. I'm not going to make jokes about Jewish people if I'm not Jewish and say, well, what happened to freedom of speech? Why can't I talk about that? You know what I mean? Like, there's something about, like, if you're not even Jewish, why are you making fun of the culture? Why are you making fun of the stereotypes if that's not who you are?
Right.
It's funnier if Adam Sandler did it when he does that song every Christmas about Hanukkah. That's funny. But do you really think it'd be funny if Bruno Mars did that song? That's all. I think it's just easier accepted if you're actually that nationality making fun of whatever the stereotype is.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah,
all I'm
sure.
saying.
I mean, and I think anyone can make fun of a stereotype.
But it's funnier if you're making fun of your own.
I think you can make fun of the concept of stereotypes. But it's like the difference between making fun of somebody for stereotypical behavior,
okay,
or what you consider to be a stereotype of their race or gender or whatever,
okay,
versus making fun of there's a difference between being racist and making fun of racism. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
I think a lot of it gets muddled in people's minds what those things are.
Well, like the perfect example of this gentleman has set me off a few times, but our friend, I won't even say his name, but we were all hanging out and, okay, for instance, if you're going to, amongst your friends, or if you're going to imitate someone and be like, and then he said, let's say that guy had a Brooklyn accent.
Yeah.
What makes it funny is if you repeat what the guy said with a Brooklyn accent.
Sure.
So, or if someone's from the South, yeah, and then he said this and the other. If someone is Latina and she has a thick accent, then you do that. But if she's born and raised in California and sounds like Kim Kardashian, you don't need to be like, papi, mija, no. Like, if she doesn't sound that way, you don't need to, if you're going to say, yeah, and this is what this girl said, if she doesn't sound that way, it's not funny. So our friend...
But I think if you do like a Latina accent, like if I did that, even if the person had that
but
accent...
But doesn't have it.
But if even if they have it, if I... imitate it.
Right.
Then there's a level of...
But that's funny. If you're literally saying, oh my God, Rosie Perez...
I think I would get in trouble for that.
No, if you were saying, so Rosie Perez was on this show and she was saying, it's so funny, so-and-so asked her whatever, and she goes, no, I don't think so. Like, if you did it the way she did it, that's how
Rosie
Perez...
If you do a spot-on Rosie Perez impression...
That's all I'm saying. But if she doesn't sound that way and someone... And she happens to have a Latina last name, and then she doesn't sound that way at all, and you're like, so then the Latino girl said, Pompey, that would be insulting.
Sure.
So our friend, we were all here and we were in the kitchen and I said something, I said, oh, I didn't know you had a phone on the wall. I didn't know you had a house phone right there. That's cute. And so our friend goes and imitates and goes, oh, Dre, you're so funny. Yo, I didn't know you had a phone on the wall. Like, and he did this whole, like, twist. And I said, I don't even sound like that, dude. Like, that. He goes, no, I'm just joking. Like, no, because you were saying you didn't have the phone on the wall and whatever. And he was, like, doing the whole neck and finger thing. And I said, first of all, there's no reason to do a neck and finger wave over a house phone hanging from a wall. Trust me. I didn't say it like that.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I'm just joking around. I'm just joking. You know, like, if I make fun of Todd, this and the other. I said, yeah, but if you make fun of Todd and all of a sudden you start doing an Irish accent, he goes, well, he is Irish. Like, you know, so if I did an Irish accent, it'd be funny. And I was trying to say, Todd doesn't have an Irish accent. So if you're trying to imitate something that Todd did with an Irish accent that has nothing to do with the joke, then all it is, oh, he's just trying to sound the way, he's just pointing out because Todd is Irish. If I'm making fun of someone I'm trying to make fun of someone who's homosexual, I'm not going to all of a sudden, a girlfriend, and do snaps and all that stuff if they don't act like that at all.
That's one of my things about being an actor. Okay, let me ask you this. Because I have had auditions where, obviously I don't get auditions playing black characters.
No.
That's not going to happen.
Albino maybe, but no.
Hey. I could wear makeup, but then I'd have to put like pink contact. I don't know.
You look like Vin Diesel in that movie Riddick.
Pitch black.
Yeah. Or pitch black, whichever
one. I got a shine job. Isn't that what they called it? A shine job?
On I don't the know. Eyes the contact so got see stuck.
I don't know. That's whatever. Whatever. But it's like a lot. I do get auditions for gay characters.
You do?
From time to time. Sure. My first theatrical job, I played a gay guy.
Oh, okay. But like over the top Modern Family?
No, I wasn't. I didn't, like, in the movie, in Blast from the Past.
Okay.
I had a conversation with the guy who they were bit parts, but we were in the scene, we were together the whole time. And I was like, so it seems like we're gay guys, right? I mean, it doesn't say explicitly in the script, but we're best friends with the gay best friend in the thing, and he's introducing us, as you know, and we're together. And he's like, I think we're gay. And I was like, but I don't have to play a stereotype. He's like, I'm not gonna. And so we're, you know, it was fine. But people, like, I remember, like, there was, like, a German paper that, like, championed this movie mm-hmm. back in the late 90s just because of these, the gay character and these gay friends, of which I was one.
Okay.
Like, this whole glowing write-up of these great gay characters in okay. this movie, which I was like, huh, that's interesting. But I've gone into auditions with gay characters and I'm just going ahead and yeah. assuming that it's not my behavior, right. like outward, the way I talk that makes me gay. It's
that you're attracted to men.
Yeah. Sucking dick. Okay.
or receiving.
69ing is very pleasurable. Whatever floats your boat. So, but I don't go in and play it. And I've gotten, because you know how casting directors yeah. have their code, because we live in a politically correct time.
Yep.
So their code is, can you make them more fun?
Oh, really?
And the first time I heard that, I was like, yeah, sure. And I just played him more peppy.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, like more fun.
Wink, wink.
And I was like, so confused. So I walked out of that audition just confused.
Yes.
And then I asked somebody, it was like, oh, she was telling you to be more stereotypically
Jeez,
gay.
Jeez, are you
it's like
serious?
It's like when they tell a black person to make it more straight.
Yep.
Yeah, can you make it more straight?
I get that. Every time.
Yeah, I bet.
Every time.
So,
and give her more attitude.
Yeah. They do it with a finger wave?
Just a little more attitude.
A little finger
more.
Wave. They do it. More
she's
attitude
tough,
than like a
but
finger
she's
wave.
She's got a good heart. He knows how to twerk. You know, can you just.
Knows how to twerk.
Like, sure.
Yeah.
Let's do one note for every black character out there. Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good, good, good. Well, I feel the same way about gay characters.
Yeah.
And as a straight man, I feel really weird. And I always compare it to that. Like, imagine yeah. that, you know, which actually is a reasonable thing if Joseph Fiennes has now been cast as Michael Jackson, for God. Christ's sake. I mean, what the hell is that?
Well, he's too dark, first of all. Okay.
Yeah. What was Bill Maher's joke about that the other night? He had a joke. I was like, I'm so on the fence about Bill Maher because sometimes he makes me laugh and okay. sometimes I'm just like, now you just sound like a bigot. Like, wow. And I can never tell if he's doing it just to raise hackles or, okay. you know, or if he, you know, genuinely is a bigot. I don't know. But he had a joke about that, but I can't remember exactly okay. what it was. Anyway, but imagine, you know, I go, like, imagine that. I get an audition to play a black character.
Yeah.
And then they go in, I go in, and I'm just playing it.
Normal.
I'm just assuming, I don't know why you're having me audition for.
Right.
But, you know, weirder things have happened.
Right.
I auditioned for an Asian guy one time.
Oh, wow.
And in, you know, retrospect, I realized they called me in because they had written probably what would have been rightly accused of being a racist character.
Okay.
Even if you have a Chinese person. Playing.
Okay.
If, because when I went in, it was still written in broken English, and I was like, what is
wow.
this? So their solution to that was have a white guy play
Dong.
Play the man, yeah. And that way it won't be racist.
Love
it. But it also, you know, I mean, I guess white guys hand out Chinese menus from time to time. I don't know. Mm. I don't know, but if I went in for the character of a black person and they were like, hey, can you make it more street? Like, I would be like, no.
Yeah.
I know. No.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel that same way about gay stereotypes. Like, I'll go in. I have no problem playing a gay guy.
Got it.
You know? And if it came down to it, I could make out with a dude
right.
in a scene. I
okay.
could do that.
Okay.
But what I'm not going to do is
okay.
do the stereotype.
Right.
You know, because if that's what you want, there are actors out there who that's their natural demeanor. So
yes,
you might
yes.
as well hire that person because it's not going to be you know, a labored performance.
Although
it's like doing an accent. I don't feel comfortable doing accents for the most part, because when I hear a British or Australian or Kiwi person doing an American accent, 99.9% of the time, and I'm including Hugh Laurie in this, I can hear cracks.
You do?
Like Hugh Laurie was like on House was one of the exceptions, because he didn't crack very much, but every now and then you'd hear it.
Really?
And I hear it all the time. I hear it from Tom Hardy, even. You know, some of our most revered actors. I'm like, I can.
I don't hear it with Damian Lewis. I didn't hear it with him. I was shocked as hell that he had an accent.
Who is he?
Homeland.
Redheaded guy.
The redheaded guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I never watched Homeland, but I did watch Dreamcatchers, and I heard it in that.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think accent work is really hard. I think you have to have an innate talent for it, like an ear. You have to have an ear for it, and I don't. So when I
you're too aware.
Right, and if I have to do something like that, I will break down every syllable phonetically and have somebody who actually has that accent read my lines into a thing, and then I imitate. But then my whole performance becomes about
the accent,
and I don't really like that. And given that there are plenty of British people, they can do the British accents.
Right.
And let me do the American
accents.
Thank you.
You
know?
Right.
And I realize that there's, you know, a bit of a problem when it comes to, like, action stars.
Yeah.
You know, because in this country,
we don't have
the actors are effeminate and the big guys are athletes, and they don't learn to act, which is why we get, you know, The Rock. And I love Dwayne Johnson.
But
when we have an American action star, they're usually called from a sport of some kind.
That's true.
Or bodybuilding or whatever. And they're not actors first. Whereas in Australia and England, acting is on the same level as playing soccer or rugby.
Yes, you train
so
for it.
So macho dudes like Tom Hardy train and become well-trained, great
Charlie
actors.
Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy. Like, you train to be...
Right.
And even Charlie Hunnam was saying, I had a problem those first seasons of Sons of Anarchy. I would hear my accent come out in the playbacks, and I would be... You could see in some of my scenes that I wasn't fully into my character, into the scene, because I was trying so hard to do that American accent. And finally, I got more comfortable
And there's like a technique to it. And depending on what country they're from, the technique is different. It's weird. Like, how they're stamping down. Like, because all... Like, speaking of Mel Gibson, all... Australian accents sound so much to me like Australians doing American accents, like Russell Crowe. They all sound like Mel Gibson, like they do. And Mel Gibson was really bad at it because
he bled through, but
Russell, like they do the vocal fry thing. That's like actually the name for it, the vocal fry. So they get really.
Well, is that the Walking Dead? Andrew Lincoln, is he from?
I think he's he might be British or Australian or something. I don't know.
I can't remember.
But he does that. Like, he doesn't, they don't bring it out of here.
Yeah.
They bring it out of here.
That accent, that
like as
that
soon
fluctuation
and,
the, comes.
And that's what would happen with Gibson in his early performances, like Lethal Weapon. He'd have the American thing going on, but then he'd get upset and he'd start to, you know, sound like Crocodile Dundee or something. And the thing was, is it didn't really matter in his, I hate to like, talk about how great Mel Gibson used to be, but it didn't really matter because his performances were so visceral and wild and it was fine. And I'd rather have that than have like a mumbly person.
One note type person.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's all because of fucking Brando. It's all Marlon Brando's fault because he's the one who started that. The mumbly acting.
Well.
And it's like, it was fine with him and he did that and that was great.
Okay.
We can all stop it. We can start talking at a normal... We don't need to be like Brando. We don't all need to be like Brando. Because remember...
He wasn't always the mumbly actor. That was just a choice, I think, for The Godfather. He wasn't mumbly and...
No. Well, that's an extreme example. But he did employ the vocal fry and the really understated acting.
Understated acting.
And it's, you know, it's cool. It, you know... that tone can work in certain places, but it shouldn't be everything.
No, not everything.
What everything is. It's like you were on the Film Pigs, that sketch that I wasn't there for. It was you and Shannon and Skelton making fun of It Follows.
Yeah.
And that scene where you're talking to Skelton, he's like, yeah, I don't know what. And you're like, why are you talking so low?
I don't know
what you mean. This is just me being real. I'm being real and letting people know.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. No, yeah. I know
that. And that's exactly what that is. But that's all Brando. Because before Brando, like,
everybody
became the legendary actor that he was, everybody just talked in normal fucking voices.
And actually enunciated.
Yeah, and you could understand what they were saying. You know, like you can watch old Bob Hope movies. He doesn't sound like Brando.
No.
You know, can you imagine that? What was that thing with Marilyn Monroe that he did?
Which one?
Where he's dressed.
Oh.
Wasn't it him and like Jack Lemmon or something?
Yeah.
That?
What was
and
that?
Blondes Have More Fun or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. You could understand what they were all saying.
That's hysterical. Yeah.
But now, like, all dramatic movies, it's like all the performances are like,
well, because they want us to feel like this is intimate and, oh, wow, we're really, I feel like Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling's really talking to me. It's supposed to be more.
I don't feel that, though.
I mean,
I feel like most of the time I feel like, especially when, like, it's one thing when you see it at the theater, because the sound's so fucking loud. But when you're at home,
you're raising
the volume. It's like every time there's dialogue in like Ryan Gosling movies, I have to turn it up. And then there'll
subtitles.
Be violence. And it's, oh, I got to turn it down because it's really fucking loud. You know? It's like, why can't you just talk at a normal volume?
You sound like an old man.
I mean, Ryan.
I can't hear you. Speak up, honey.
I can't. Ryan, speak up.
Now, could you do that with a little more attitude? God.
And have more fun. Make them more
just
fun.
Just a little bit more.
Hey, Ryan Gosling, make them more fun.
Lord, the stereotype.
I would have way preferred Drive if...
I do own that.
Ryan Gosling had... No. Okay. If Ryan Gosling had played that as a flamboyant homosexual...
Ladies!
I would have been on board.
Hey!
I did not... That was another movie I
need to go see that one. I've heard so much about that one, so I want to go see that one. But I was going to quickly just say, like, I think that Can You Have It More Fun, Eric Stone Street, whatever, the guy from Modern Family, who's 100% straight.
Oh, yeah.
He makes that show because that flamboyant and the way he does it, it is making fun of the stereotype of a gay man, but I'm sorry, he steals the show every time when he's on...
Yeah, but he does it. I mean, I know it's a stereotype, but he does it.
He does it sincerely.
Does it really well. And I think it's like, I think it's akin to accent work. I really think that he's taking it and nailing the accent, as it were. Do you know what I mean?
No, he doesn't have, what do you mean?
Well, like his flamboyance.
Yeah.
That stereotype that he's playing.
Right.
Like, if I play that, I generally, one, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be completely comfortable. It's like doing accent work.
Okay, I see what you're trying to say.
You know what I mean? If,
okay.
if I'm doing a British accent...
And you're not comfortable
with it. And I'm not comfortable with it. And I think he just...
He lets it all go.
And it's very natural, you know.
Mannerisms, everything. And it's not the Birdcage type, oh, I'm gay. Like, it's not that. It's definitely...
That's what I loved about the Birdcage. That scene where Robin Williams and Nathan Lane were just running around the room going, oh, I'm gay.
And that was in between takes. Just
kidding.
Yeah,
this is outtakes.
Director's cut.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there are people who can do it. And there are people who can do great accent work, too. But
yeah.
I think, you know, it's like Clint Eastwood's Dirty Harry said in the second Dirty Harry movie, a man's got to know his limitations.
Most men don't.
You know? Most men don't.
But you do.
I do. I know I don't like to play stereotypical gay guys.
Fun guys.
And I don't like doing accents.
No.
Yeah.
But.
Every year I'll get an audition for Fargo that I inevitably will not book.
But they still give me the audition. That's half the battle.
And I go in and that's the only one where I work on the accent.
Don't you know?
Which is really hard.
No, that's a hard one because it's subtle, but it's...
Yeah, and it's up there, and it's easier to slip into Canadian, and you don't want to make fun of it. you know.
You don't want to overdo it.
I think that show's so good. I'm like willing to try and fail for it.
I think you'd be great.
But most of them, I don't.
I've had to do an accent.
I tried for Justified too.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah. A couple times.
Southern one's hard too.
Yeah.
Because some of them have it, and so they never make the black people do Southern accents. Have you noticed that?
It's racist.
Honestly, like on. Well, another thing I noticed was Carl doesn't have an accent. He's black, white. On Walking Dead, he doesn't have an accent. And he grew up in the South with...
Yeah. I really don't have a problem with that. I like...
But I just noticed that. Yeah. I was like, that's odd.
But, yeah. I would rather people, like, do the George Clooney in Perfect Storm and not have an accent...
Than try to fake it.
Than have a fucked up accent that's okay. Distracting.
It's distracting, but it also, it would be if you had two British parents and the kid is American, but everyone was born and raised in Britain. You know what I mean? It would be, that's what I'm saying. I flip it the other way around.
Yeah, like, I get it.
You know, kid would have
I get
British,
it. Well, I, you know, yeah, I get it, but...
It doesn't take away. If the acting is good and you're
I think there's a lot of people, especially when you talk about regions of America, there are a lot of places that are known for a particular accent. But if you really go there, there are plenty of people who don't have it. Because we are a melting pot. I mean, that's the way I've always felt about Mass and Massachusetts accents. Because, again, It's 99.9% of the time, it's not done right.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, honestly, I think the best two accents, Massachusetts accents I ever heard... done by people who aren't from Massachusetts were John Hawkes and Rusty Schwimmer in A Perfect Storm.
Okay.
Doing Gloucester accents.
Wow. Okay.
Where in the same movie there were people doing Gloucester accents and it was like, no, Michael Ironside, I love you, but I don't know what that language is you're speaking.
That's funny.
It's like a weird hybrid of New York and
Canadian. Oh, that's
Canadian.
Horrible. Really?
Yeah, and Marky Mark didn't do it right either. And he's from Massachusetts. But that should tell you. That should tell you. Well, but that's the thing. It's like your accent in Massachusetts is so regionalized that to do a general one. That's why everybody is always doing Kennedy accents.
Yeah.
And the only people who sound like that are Kennedys.
Kennedys.
That's it. Nobody else sounds like that. Nobody. Zero
well,
people.
Seth MacFarlane when he does Family Guy characters, right? That's kind of Boston. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He did, like his Ted character is from Boston or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, he's got a few.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying people can't do them.
No, but it's
but
they,
it's
not
very
authentic.
Rare that they do it well. And it's one thing to... You can get away with more in Seth MacFarlane territory because it's a joke.
Yeah.
As long as you don't cross too far into, you know... The offensive, but you can't be really offensive about making fun of
an accent.
A New York or a
Brooklyn
Massachusetts
or
Southern accent.
That's the one thing you should not be offended by.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. Offended. And I think people can do it, and I think people do have an ear for it, but I think it's more rare than everybody thinks.
I agree.
Because so often I'm like, why is this person doing an accent? Multicay, why? What? Mordecai? Why?
Oh my gosh. And he probably had like a speech coach on set. Oh Lord. I don't know. But we'll see how this whole 2016 goes for
I feel
us,
like we've fixed racism.
Yes.
Anti-Semitism.
Yep.
Homophobia.
Yep.
Sexism.
Yep.
Is there anything we didn't fix here on the show?
Your heartburn.
Oh yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. That surgery is too risky. I can't.
But still, it's young. We never know what technology will come up with. Maybe they won't even have to do anything. They just stick a tube down.
I just want technology to come up with a cure to cancer so I can start smoking again.
That's... Just bleep that part. That's so incorrect. All right, people. We've had fun. Thank you to Todd Robert Anderson. You've been an amazing guest.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Of course. Anytime. And we out. Bye, people.